thank you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy of our worship. He alone is worthy of us tuning this in. He alone is worthy of us getting together. Speaking about people that recognizes he alone is worthy, old Kevin sitting about 3 feet from me. Good morning, brother.
Good morning. He is worthy. But you know what? I'm thankful this is a beautiful sunny day in South Carolina. The last time I was around here, it wasn't too peachy.
Yeah, you know, folks, I have the blinds at half-mast right now because it's too bright. It's too sunny. Here we are, and we're recording this in February, and I have the blinds at half-mast just because it's so sunny here. And I hope it's sunny where you're at, but if it's not, you have the Son of God, and that's pretty cool. And so we've been looking at some things. So this week so far, we've talked about God's provision and how he provides for us. And we were looking at words. We actually took a couple minutes and strongly looked at this. And we're talking about, you know, recognizing Christ as a healer, recognizing what Christ does in our life. And folks, if we're going to heal, if we're going to get better, if we're going to make those next steps in our life, it takes the understanding that Christ is the healer, that Christ is the answer, that he is the one. So not only do we sit here and say, boy, he's worthy, he's the only one worthy, he's the only one we should worship, but we want you to know that those are more than just words. That's a reality in our life. He's the changer. He's the way maker. He's the guy who heals folks. He's the guy who changes things. He's the guy who got Peter to walk on water. He's the guy who can take our lives and the craziness and the silliness and the stupidness and the bad relationships and the weird relationships and the weirdness and raising kids, which is a crazy thing all by itself, and fix that and just fix everything. And we serve a God who can do that. And Debbie and I were kind of nostalgic yesterday. So yesterday, our son turned 33 years old, our oldest son, and we're going through, you know, we were married 8 years before God gave us a kid, and we're just so honored just to be able to recognize Doug. So just a shout out to Doug. What a great son he is. And graduated first in his class from Clemson University with his graduate degree. And we shouldn't be that proud, but we are. God forgive us for that. But we're looking at Christ. So if he can do that with my son, and you guys know me, I'm the biggest knucklehead that ever lived. So if he can do that, imagine what he can do with your kids. And the Bible says over in Isaiah 41:10, it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." So God's saying, listen, I got you. I'll be the one that does it. Don't be dismayed. I'm God, and I will strengthen thee. Yes, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand. And old Jeremiah calling out to the Lord, he says, "Heal me, O Lord," all capitals, talking to God the Father there, "and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise." Jeremiah again, "Behold, I will bring it health and cure. I will cure them and reveal unto them an abundance of peace and truth." Over in 1 Peter, "Who his own self bare our sins," Kevin, "in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sins, should have peace." "Us being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Never try to remember verses when you're talking 100 miles an hour. But we serve a God that says, listen, I got it. I got all this. And he needs to be the healer. He's not a part of our healing, Kevin. One of the mistakes I made for many years in my life was saying, you know, God needs to be a part of my healing. No, God needs to be my healer, brother.
Yeah, I love the verses that talk about the ability of Christ to heal. And when I first got saved, I was in went to a church. Someone invited me to a church. We made United Nations Children's Fund collection boxes for Sunday school. I said, that's not the one I want to go to. As a new Christian, I said, I want to hear the word. So we went to a church that was just... it exploited the notion of healing, and honestly, it misused, it misrepresented it in reality. But I remember, you know, I got to be healed. You got to be healed. And it was just bizarre. And it just seemed so far from the scriptures to the scriptures, what was taking place there. But I tell you what, with all that, with the misuse of purported gifts like that, God is still the healer. And he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And the fact is, back in the book of Psalms, chapter number 103, I think it is, it talks about who healeth all thy diseases. You know, bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. Who healeth all thy diseases? And, you know, that could mean two things. One is it means all sickness will be healed, but that doesn't fit with the rest of the Bible. You know, Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Talked about people being sick, nigh unto death.
I know, yeah. That messes those people up, doesn't it?
It messes it up. You look at the book of Job, you know. So, but it's talking about when God heals a disease, he's the healer of all the diseases that are healed. And thank God for that. So what a healthcare situation we have that God it is able to heal any disease. And I know there's people listening who have gotten serious illnesses and God healed you of it. Sometimes miraculously, despite diagnoses, despite treatments that were not helping, God still did it. And sometimes God used a treatment plan. But God still was the author of that. And so that's the Lord. You know, he giveth us power to get wealth, it says back there in the Pentateuch somewhere, maybe in Deuteronomy. But God who giveth thee power to get wealth, if I know the place it was, it might be somewhere else in the scriptures. But God gives us power to do things. So when something happens on a natural level, it's God that okays it. And I'm so thankful that he's a healer. And also, there's a verse that says that the Lord maketh thy bed in all thy sickness. And when he maketh thy bed in all thy sickness, he shall make thy bed in all thy sickness. It's talking about, and that's in, I'm trying to find it. But when he makes your bed in thy sickness, what's that talking about? It's talking about that God is not only someone who can step in and miraculously heal you of something and just cause the trauma to go away, cause the thing never to take place. You know, I've got a pain. The doctor says it's cancer. God's able to take the cancer away. Or God is able to, with his wonderful bedside manners, make your bed. In other words, help you through it. God's a healer sometimes through the process of sickness. And you know what? We've got a great situation, Doug, where we got a God that can take away the sickness, whatever it takes to be able to allow me to serve God and accomplish his will. He'll do it, whether it means take away the Lyme disease, or whether it means bless me through the process of recovery. And it's the same way with trauma. God knows how to help us through trauma, or he can just deliver us from ever having the trauma. Who delivered me from all my fears. Or there's times where who healeth all the diseases. God's in the business of healing us either before, in, or through the recovery. But you know what? God's in the business of letting us stay close to him through it.
He's in a great business, and he's in the business that I need. And we got to remember, too, that God healeth the broken heart. Remember in Psalm 147, it says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. And, you know, I really believe that some of the toughest wounds I've ever had are a broken heart. Some of the toughest things I've ever went through has been a broken heart. Some of those things that turned my life upside down and crazy have been a result of a broken heart. And I'm so glad that I serve a God. And, you know, and sometimes, honestly, I have to admit that I've brought on that broken heart myself. Sometimes, honestly, I've done some things. You know, I haven't been a perfect human being. I'm not even close. Those of you who know me are laughing right now and say, no, you're a long way from it. I'm living proof that God can use anybody, by the way, because there's a lot of people who sit in churches that are brighter than I am, that are, you know, more organized with their thoughts, more disciplined, whatever the case may be. But God doesn't get caught up in that. He heals the broken hearts. He heals our wounds. And then God, this great God we serve, takes the terrible things, the crazy things, the traumas, the hurts, the self-imposed craziness, whatever the case may be, and he fixes all that. And then he says, you know what? Now you get to be a blessing with all that junk. You can take that junk, you can lay on the couch and not do a thing all day long, or you can take that junk and go out and tell the world how God healed you, because I'll heal you. I'll heal your broken heart. I'll heal your wounds. People, we just got to accept that. We just got to go for it. We got to seek it, ardently desire it. We got to jump in and say, hey, I want this stuff, and I want to make a difference in your life. That's what God's saying. I want to make a difference. Folks, we got to let him. He gives us this stuff called free will. Hey, listen, we're going to let the radio stations do what they got to do. We'll be right back with you. Hang with us.
Doug will return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
Hey, folks, we're back with you, continuing the verse-by-verse exegetical study of the life of Christ. We still find ourselves in the book of John, chapter number 21, and as we move forward, and what a blessing that is. Today, we find ourselves in verses 8 through 14, and as we continue on, we know that they're eating fish, there's bread, there's fire. There's a barbecue going on here, Kevin. but God doesn't waste time. He's not wasting a barbecue. He's going to teach. He's going to help these people. Kevin was saying it reminded him of what they had done fishing before and all the fish that came up. And I was saying how it reminded me, again, fish and provision, the protein, the bread, reminded me of those thousands of people who were being fed. And so then now the Bible says, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land. Remember, Peter jumped in. He was naked. He had just a smock on, got right, got dressed, jumped in, went and hugged Christ. And they followed behind him in a ship with the net with the fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and the fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring out the fish that ye have now caught. Simon Peter went out and drew the net full of great fishes, 153. And I think we did cover this verse, brother. I'm all right. We're covering it twice, 2 days in a row. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. None of the disciples were like, hey, who is this guy? What's going on? They knew that the Lord was. This is the third time Jesus shows up in their lives, you know. And then it says that, actually, in the next verse. This is now the first time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. I look at these things, and I actually put in here by verse what's going on. There's so much going on here. Mm-hmm. In verse number 8, we know they hadn't caught anything. We had already went through that, and they did what he told them. There's abundance, the great fish. They're over in verse 9. There he is on shore. He's preparing. Peter's there wrapped around Christ, loving on him. And one of the things I love, Kevin, especially as I get older, is knowing that Peter's the old guy, and the old guy's over there hugging Jesus, jumping out of the boat. And the older I get, the closer I want to get to God. It doesn't mean that young people couldn't be the one that do that, but I like that. And then Peter brings that full net of fish to shore, and the net remains intact. Only Christ can do that with those great fish. And it just, again, highlights how Jesus blesses people like us, how Jesus blessed the disciples, how Jesus, you know, this is a significant encounter, I think. And this is how Jesus just blesses people. And you know, I'm kind of messed up here, too. And let me put it to you this way. Here's Jesus serving the disciples again. You know, Jesus is a servant. Even as God resurrected back down third time, and he's serving the disciples. Is that a picture of the way our ministry should look? Is that a picture of the way our life should look with our family, our friends, our churches? I mean, Kevin, here he is giving an example. He's serving them again. Mm-hmm. That's the God we serve. He's the healer. He's the server. He's the guy.
Yeah. You know, a servant leader makes it easy to serve. I thought it was interesting too, Doug, that when Jesus showed up this third time, this would have been, you know, there's the one time where he showed up in the tomb. I mean, not the tomb. The one time in the upper room.
Yeah.
Another time along the way to Jericho Road, I think. No, the road to Emmaus.
Yeah.
And then this time, and at least this time and the Emmaus Road experience, he's in another form because they didn't recognize him. And so I would say here, unless the distance here made it that he could not be recognized, but I think they would have recognized him. I think that at least in the beginning, he showed up in another form. He didn't, you know, or maybe he had a, you know, something kind of covering his, you know, hat type of situation on that went down over him, a towel type of thing like they wear in the Middle East. I don't know, but it's something that sometimes when the Lord shows up, we don't recognize him, and he wanted it that way. You know, he expected them not to get it. But, you know, I'm so thankful that we have a Savior who comes to us in times of failure, and he shows up and kind of earns our respect, earns our faith, earns our familiarity again. You know, there's a, I forget the name of the series, but anyway, there's an author named Chuck Black, and he wrote wonderful stories. They're made into wonderful audiobooks, but these stories are about kind of a medieval kingdom type of thing, but it's a spiritual warfare type of thing, but it's done well, pretty sound. There's a couple things I'm like, I don't agree with that, but I highly recommend this. Totally stirring, helpful. But Chuck Black wrote about a guy, and I can't remember the guy's name in which book in this series, but he wrote about a guy who had a horrible defeat. He was a knight, horrible defeat. And from that horrible defeat, I mean, he was like left almost dead. He woke up in a cave, and a man named Segeus was taking care of him, and Segeus was feeding him. And after a while, this old Segeus was old. I mean, like decrepit. And Segeus lived alone, assumed he was a widower, and just took care of him. This wounded knight, and nursed him back to health, and then spent time training him to become a swordsman, a better swordsman. And then after a while, like the old man's getting stronger, and as he's learning these things and teaching these things, getting stronger and stronger. And finally, one day, Segeus is gone, and the knight realizes it was Jesus. It was the king. It was his king that had showed up, and he showed up in another form. It's touching to hear it dramatized, especially. I love it. It's Kingdom Heart or something like that. But Chuck Black, but what I'm saying here is that we have a wonderful Savior who can show up when we need it most, when we least expect it, because we're his kids.
Yeah.
Children, do you have any meat? Kids, I still love you. Like you said, I'm here. I'm taking care of you. Come and dine. I'm providing. He could have said, "Hey, y'all been out there failing. While you're failing, I'm here cooking what you've gotten nothing. You got nowhere with. I'm here. I already have it." But no, he didn't. He just was so tender. And boy, Peter, his idea is he wants to restore this man of great potential whose biggest enemy is himself.
Yeah, boy, and just understanding that piece that you know, we're God's children, and understanding the relationship that Christ has with his disciples is the relationship that Christ has with us. You know, there's so one of the toughest things about leadership, I got to tell you, that I learned in the Army, and you guys know, I led everywhere from one person. By the time I left, I was in charge of 900 people working for me, actually around the globe at this particular point in my life. And I've learned several things. And I learned one of the number one things that works is imitation. You know, just imitate your leader. Give them something that they can base their, you know, soldiering on. Show them how you soldier, you know, show them. There were no secrets. You know, I obviously, if somebody was going through something terrible, I wouldn't use a name. I wouldn't bring that up. But as far as my leadership went, I was extremely transparent. The reason I made this decision is this.
I based an entire military career on that. By the time I made E7, I said, I am going to be 100% transparent. I am going to be 100% the guy that you can imitate my actions and leadership and do something with. Well, I wish I could say that was a profound new thing that I'd come up with. No, Christ, at a level 1 billion, gazillion, trillion times bigger, showed the world how to be a servant. Showed us all how to be a servant, showed us all how to love people, showed us all how to care for people, showed, you know, and if we can imitate what Christ is showing us here and be a servant to our family and friends and loved ones and churches and neighbors and whatever the case may be, if we can imitate what Christ is doing here at the Sea of Tiberias, Sea of Galilee, if we can imitate that in lives and just serve people, wait on people, love people, help people, provide for people. I'll tell you, God can use that in your life, and what a difference it makes. So don't be a stingy person. Don't be somebody who serves God. Be a servant. Man, God can do everything with that. You know, you all make sure you come back tomorrow. We're going to talk about a subject very important. Do you love me? So you want to be part of that. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.